Acts chapter number 14. Acts chapter number 14. And let's look at this real quick. I have made an attempt, I think this would be the third attempt we've made to preach through this thought that the Lord has given to us. Of course, you'll remember we've been preaching through there's three instances we've been preaching through the lame, what we call the lame man miracles, through the book of Acts. Of course, there's others in the ministry of Christ, and that was a constant occurrence in the life of the Lord Jesus. But just looking at it in the book of Acts, as we understand the ministry of the church is at work throughout the book of Acts. And we're hearing the third and last one. Peter, of course, Peter and John was involved in the first one, Acts chapter number 3. And then you had Peter involved there with the young man who had been lame on his feet. I believe it was for 8 years, the Bible said. And then this third and final place is the Apostle Paul. And he's come to this certain place here in Lystra. The Bible said in Acts 14, I'll let you be seated, and let's look at this real quickly, all right? Verse number 8 said, and there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. When the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in time past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them. And here we find this lame man we're introduced to. He's just a certain man. We don't know his name. Here in verse number 8, this being that, again, that third instance of a crippled man being given the power to be healed, much like the scene of Acts 3, as we read that account, this text, and no doubt the other account where Peter raised the young man, there is a leaping and a walking that is involved when these miracles are performed. And so these men, and this man in particular, he goes from a very sad, sad condition of just being able to lay around and be carried about as a burden to others, to now he's standing, he's leaping, and he's walking. And with that in mind, we've been preaching upon, it's time to kick it up a notch. It's time to kick it up a notch. In each of these instances, we learn some truths surrounding this thought in the lives of you and I as God's children and as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that we can be saved, we can be in church, we can be in services, but there's a difference in that and excelling and growing and reaching new heights for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there comes times in our life, in our spiritual lives, for each of us that are saved, where we must understand, I've been where I am too long. It's time to kick it up a notch. And I give you this all the way back. I think it was in the first message, but hey man, just real quickly, I thought about it today, Amen. Some are feeble kneed, some are impotent, some are lame and need to kick it up a notch in their giving, others in their standards, others in their spiritual burden, some in their prayer life, others in their church attendance. Amen. Others in their desire for God, some need to kick it up a notch in their worship and in their praise and in their thanks and testimonies. Others need to kick it up in their faith and on. We could go, if we would examine our spiritual lives tonight, I'm sure, amen, if we'd listen to the Holy Ghost, He could put His finger on something in our life. Amen. Somewhere in our relationship with God where we would, amen, say indeed, it's time to kick it up a notch. I'm not going to pillow my head tonight and doze off to sleep in the same condition of that area in my life. I'm going to let the Lord do a work and I'm going to kick it up a notch. And so in this text, we looked at the disability of this man's condition. He is described as being impotent. He is called a cripple. And he's referenced as one who never had walked. And so this speaks of a man with no advancement or forward progress. He's a man unable. He's a man that is weak. He is a man and has a condition that he cannot overcome. We looked at this, the discovery of this man's condition. As we read about him in the Word of God, he's just simply a certain man. And so though he's unnamed and overlooked by those that are around him, those of Lystra, amen, they didn't depend on him. They didn't count on him. They didn't see anything good that he had to offer, but the Lord has this recorded in the Word of God teaching you and I, amen, that when others do not see where we are and do not know our condition, or worse yet, do not even care about where we are, God does. Amen. God sees our spiritual need and God sees our spiritual condition. And, amen, there'll be a discovery of that by our Heavenly Father. Amen. He knew what this man's condition was. He knew what he was. Amen. And he knew where he was. Amen. A certain man at Lystra. We see the duration of this man's condition. Amen. He had been lame since his mother's womb. A cripple, the Bible said, from his mother's womb. He had been this way since he had been born. We talked about the fact that as a picture to you and I for the sake of our study, that he pictures a man that has been given life, and yet he was not able to enjoy it abundantly. You remember we said that is a man that had life but had no living. And so thank God for the day we're born again. But what have you done with your new life? Amen. Have you learned what it is to really live? Amen. You've been saved. You've been given spiritual life from the Lord. Amen. But since your new birth, have you really found out, amen, what it is to be living? And so the duration of this man's condition shall, amen, get saved and go a long, long, long time before they realize they can kick it up a notch in their spiritual life. And so with that in mind, we're preaching on kick it up a notch. It's time. Amen. It's time. Not later, not next weekend. Amen. Not next Wednesday night, not the next revival meeting. Amen. But it's now. Now it's time to kick it up a notch. Amen. And so we looked at in this text the entrance of a man of God. That this man's miracle depended upon a man of God being used by God to work in his life. And when all is done, Paul wants no praise. And Paul and Barnabas, they don't even want a pat on the back. This crowd was going to give them a sacrifice. This crowd was ready to do worship unto Barnabas and to Paul. And had they been men of lesser character, amen, they could have received that and patted themselves on the back. But Paul, my friend, was a real man of God. He wasn't interested in that. Amen. He wants their allegiance being given to the Lord. And yet we understand that what God did and the glory God is to receive for what is done in this man's life, God does it through the man of God, the Apostle Paul. And so there's an entrance of a man of God into this city, but also into this man's life. And we looked at the providence of his entrance, how had Paul in the opening of this text had been mistreated and rejected, and my friend had a sad story that he could have told. And yet I believe the Apostle Paul just chalked it all up to the Lord and said the Lord knows, and let the Lord continue to direct his life. And by providence, God sent the man of God to this man exactly where he was, a man to help minister into his life exactly what he needed. We looked at the preaching at his entrance in verse number 7. Paul gets there. Amen. When Paul gets to Lystra, the Bible said, and there they preached the gospel. And there they preached the gospel. And so it was gospel preaching. Amen. That Paul brought good news. And as Paul was preaching, amen, he's not only obeying the Lord and preaching the word. Amen. But verse 9 said, the same heard Paul speak. And so we find that there was a preacher and there was a man in need who was willing to listen what the preacher had to say. Amen. That man of God was bringing good news. That man of God, amen, had exactly what this boy needed. May I say thank God for men of God who prayer back and preach the gospel and the word of God. Amen. Call attention to the God of heaven in our life. Amen. Point out our needs. Call it what they are. Amen. And just preach to our life. Amen. The entrance of the man of God involved that preaching. And by the way, if we're ever going to step it up a notch, it'll come through a preacher. Amen. Preaching the word of God. Amen. It'll come through much like the first Wednesday night. Amen. In the month of June 2021. Amen. Just preaching a simple thought. Amen. When's the last time you kicked it up a notch? Amen. And so it's preaching that gets the job done. We looked at the perception in his entrance. How did Paul, when he came in and was preaching, this man is listening, all of a sudden, amen, the man of God who steadfastly, the Bible said, beholding him and perceiving that he had faith. And so there's a perception that is involved while the man of God is preaching. Amen. And while the preacher is giving them the word of God, amen, the Holy Ghost begins to open his eyes to the needs of those that are listening to the man of God. And that man of God has the ability, amen, that is manifest here. He has the ability to perceive and discern the spiritual needs that are going on to the crowd that he is preaching to. I'm thinking of an instance. I can't bog down here. Seem like every week I have when I preach this text, but I remember a certain service in my first church where I was preaching, and the Lord kind of is just one of them unique services where the Lord hooked me up on a particular truth, and a burden began to weigh heavy on my heart. And I was preaching against immorality and adultery and fornication. And in the midst of preaching that, having no knowledge of anything that had come by way of the grapevine, there was no gossip brought to me. There were no tales being told in the community. But Brother Tim, in the middle of preaching that, amen, being connected, knowing God has me hooked up right here for a reason. Amen, the Lord began to open my eyes, and it was so clear and so plain in that moment of time of preaching. And I don't think the Lord could have put, amen, flashing neon arrow lights over the ones that had been guilty. And it wasn't just about 10 days later. Amen. I'll put it this way. Oh, amen. Oh, purgatory broke out. And I mean, things started coming out. Amen. Of the coals it had. And God had revealed that to the man of God. And I don't claim to be much of what. Amen. But this much I know, a Bible preacher. Amen. He may not even know why God has him preaching what he's preaching. Amen. But if he's in tune to the Holy Ghost and in line with the Word of God, God will begin to show him, amen, the spiritual needs and condition of men and women and boys and girls' lives. Amen. And that's what happened in this text. Amen. While he's preaching, can you imagine? That's what the text said. Amen. While this man was hearing Paul speak, amen, the Bible said while Paul is speaking, he just looks and stares at this man. Amen. And perceiving, he's gazing and taking him all in. Amen. To strain intently. Amen. To see, to gaze with wide open eyes. And to discern clearly. And I'll be honest, as a preacher, just as an individual, as a human being, my personality doesn't really like a lot of conflict. And it's amazing God would take somebody like me and put me in the ministry. Amen. I remember when Brother Larry, when Jeremiah was arguing with the Lord about the call of God to preach and prophesy. Amen. He was afraid of the people's faces and he'd have to see. And God had to tell him, be not afraid of their faces. Amen. You get up and you preach. And while I'm preaching, I go from one person to the next. Amen. You imagine how intimidated you'd feel. Amen. If I just got preaching, Brother A.M., while I'm preaching, I'm just, amen, staring at you and looking at you, and I'm not acting like there's anybody else in the building. I'm just, that's what Paul's doing. He ain't taking his eyes off of it. And I'll be honest, I'm the preacher and I'm doing this and I'm starting to feel awkward just doing it. And yet that's what Paul did as the Holy Ghost centered him in upon what an individual needed in this hour. And so thank God for men of God that have that spiritual discernment to know, amen, what needs to be preached and how to preach it and who needs it. And whether he knows exactly maybe all this going on, amen, this idea of a perception that, amen, lets him tap in. And you may not always know why a preacher's preaching what he's preaching or why he deals with something like he deals with it. Amen. But I tell you this, he may not even know, amen, other than God has orchestrated and put him in that vein. Amen. Don't ever let that bother you and let that ever get you to the place where, amen, you don't receive that or get tapped into that. Amen. That's important to you and that. Amen. Understanding it's time to kick it up a notch. Number two tonight. Amen. Real quickly now. Amen. The experience of the miracle of God. We see the entrance of a man of God, but notice here the experience of the miracle of God as is found and recorded in verse 9 and in verse number 10. I'm thankful again that God knew what this man needed. May I say what he experiences, amen, is not necessarily, amen, and really in totality has very little to do with Paul other than he showed up minding God, filled with the Holy Ghost, amen. But what is done, all glory goes to the Lord. It was the power of God that raised this man up. It was the working of the Holy Ghost that brought this about. Amen. Can I say I'm thankful for those spiritual experiences? Amen. And I would call them spiritual miracles where the Lord takes us beyond ourselves and beyond where we've been and beyond where we've got comfortable being. Amen. And let us find some new ground and begin to leap and walk Amen. For God again. And so in the experience of the miracles of God, consider this tonight. At number one, I see, Brother Bob, I see the dependence for the miracle. The dependence for the miracle. And we've got a preacher doing his job. We've got a preacher fulfilling what God sent him there to do. But here we have a man in need that knows he has a need. Amen. And he has a responsibility as well. Now look with me at what the Bible said in the end of verse number 9. Or the Bible said of Paul that he was perceiving that he, that is the lame man, he had faith to be healed. He had faith to be healed. He believed and he had a faith that, and Paul saying this man is in such bad shape, he don't know how it's going to happen. It's been impossible and it's been an overwhelming condition that he has been in. He ain't been able to twitch his toes. He ain't been able to stand on his own two feet. Amen. And yet this man, the more he heard Paul preach, amen, faith began to grow in his life, and where Paul perceived and discerned this man has faith. And he ain't going to have to be carried out. He ain't going to be laying down and crawling and begging for a ride. This man has faith to be healed. Amen. Now where is his faith? I believe his faith is in God. Amen. I believe his faith is in the word that he's hearing preached. Amen. It ain't in Paul. It's in the Lord Jesus. He had faith to be healed. And so we see, amen, the dependence for the miracle. Hey, I say tonight that faith in Christ and Christ's power and Christ's word, amen, to take him beyond his own ability. He has no self-faith. Amen. He's gone beyond the realm of self-confidence. He's gone beyond the realm of just, amen, peer confidence. Amen. Now, through preaching, amen, he has faith in Christ and Christ's word and Christ's power to take him beyond his own ability. And dear child of God, may I tell you and I this evening, amen, that faith is something more than, amen, that's something we need more than just in the moment of salvation. Amen. I know by grace through faith it is that we're saved. Amen. But the just, those that are already saved, shall live by faith. Amen. And if you're going to grow and you're going to be a disciple that you and I need to be, there must be a dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The just shall not only live by faith, but the just shall live by his or her faith. Amen. You're kicking it up a notch. Amen. Has a whole lot to do with your dependence upon the Lord. Now, do we know this? Amen. Hold your place here. Let me run you through the Gospel of Matthew quickly. Amen. And let's look at some things that are recorded, amen, in the Word of God. Matthew chapter number 8 to begin with. Matthew chapter number 8. Amen. Are y'all with me? Say amen. Amen. I feel like I'm plugging in. In verse 5, Jesus entered into Capernaum. There came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick in the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. And then the centurion begins to talk to the Lord, saying, Lord, I am not worthy. I don't deserve you to come back to my house. And I'm a man that is over other men. And when I command them to go, they go. And when I command them to come, they come. And he said, Lord, if you would just speak the word right here, I believe my servant could be healed. And move the heart of the Lord. Amen. Verse number 10, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, listen now, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And in the end of this story, you'll find the Lord indeed commanded. And because of the faith of this man, a miracle was provided. You see, that Roman centurion, he had a lot of money. He had a lot of prestige. He had a big position. He could have appealed, my friend, to the Roman government and those, amen, that were above him and had the finest doctors and surgeons and medical field experts to come that day. Amen. But you know what this man realized? Amen. It won't pay nothing, or very little can be done. Amen. Depending upon all those things. And he got to the one that he knew beyond a shadow of a doubt had the authority and the power, amen, to do what this man could not do in his own ability. And Christ testified, amen, it was his faith that got Christ to move on his behalf. Amen, I'm getting excited about this. Amen, I'm glad he saved me by grace through faith. Amen, but you understand tonight, if you'll believe God, if you'll depend on God, that God can take you out of your rut, that God can get you back on your feet, that God can do great things in our life if we'll just believe. Amen. I'm not talking about charismatic doctrine. Amen. Matthew 9, look over one text. Amen. But Jesus turned, verse 22, turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole." And the woman was made whole from that hour. Amen. Thy faith, Jesus points out, it was her faith. Amen. Her faith in what? Amen. Not herself, not her parents, not her siblings, not anything else. Her faith in Christ. Amen. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Amen. Look over if you will. Amen. Amen. Look over in Matthew 9. Look down a few pages. Amen. These two blind men are crying and saying, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." At verse 28, when he was coming to the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, "Listen thou, believe ye that I am able to do this? Do you have faith? Do you believe I can do what you need done and what you're asking me to do?" The Bible said, they said unto him, Yea, Lord. Can I ask you tonight, do you believe that God can do for you what has you pinned down tonight? Do you believe God can raise you up? Do you believe God can help you kick it up a notch? Amen. Do you believe? Is there anyone in the building tonight that would say, "Yay, Lord, yes, Lord, I believe it. In fact, Lord, I believe if it's going to be done, only you can do it." Listen what Jesus said. Then touched he their hands, saying, "According to your faith, be it unto you." Bob, that's a big statement right there. In other words, according to your faith, you are going to receive clarity of sight to the degree that your faith is. Amen. You say, "Preacher, this sounds like something you'd hear on TBN." No, it ain't. Amen. Jesus, listen, in the life of the believer, amen, I wonder tonight if the Lord said, "I'm going to work in your spiritual life. I'm going to take you beyond where you are now, and I'm going to do that according to your faith." How high are you going to kick it up a notch? Will you kick it up a notch at all? According to your faith. In Matthew 15, Lord have mercy. Amen. Matthew 15. Amen. Matthew 15 and in verse, I believe it's verse. Let me find it here. Amen. Look with me in verse number 28. Here is that Syrophoenician woman. who has a child that needs something, amen, that only the Lord can do. Amen, the Lord has called her a dog. Amen, the Lord has initially ignored her, and she worships, and she begs. Amen. And then Jesus answered in verse 28 and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Her daughter was made whole from that very hour. In other words, the idea here and the truth as we're making connection to the fact that when Paul saw this man, he perceived that he had faith to be healed. He could, listen, that man would never stand. That man would never leap. That man would never walk had he not had faith that Christ's power and that Christ's word and that, amen, by the working of the Holy Ghost, amen, this thing can be done in his life. That's the case all through the Lord's earthly ministry. Amen. Listen to this. Look back, if you will, in Matthew 13. You know this verse. Matthew 13 verse number 58. The Bible said, and he did not, speaking of his hometown, I believe in Nazareth, amen. The Bible said, and he did not many mighty works there. Why? Because of their unbelief. He did not many mighty works there. Not because he was lacking a desire to do it. Not because he was uninterested in what they needed and where they were, there was not. There was no prejudice on his side. Amen. He desired to do many mighty works there, but he could not because of their unbelief. I wonder tonight what we're missing out on spiritually in this regard, because we say we believe God. And we sing living by faith. But when the Spirit of the Lord discerns our real inward man, there's not faith there that we can be healed and recover and kick it up a notch. Amen. Amen. You say, preacher, are you challenging my faith? You better believe I'm challenging yours and mine. Amen. The dependence for the miracle. Quickly, number two, the declaration in the miracle. When Paul steadfastly beholds and perceives that he had faith to be healed. Notice what Paul said. Amen. And the Bible said that I like this. This is how I know Paul was a Baptist preacher. Amen. With a loud voice. Amen. What did he say? Stand upright on thy feet. Stand upright on thy feet. And so this brings me to the declaration in the miracle. Amen. Paul says it loudly. When something is loud, it is dogmatic. It is emphatic. It is being declared as a point of emphasis. And if you want what you need, if you're going to receive what you have faith to believe Christ can do for you, amen, Paul said this is what you have to do. Amen, you have to make a move to stand upright on thy feet. Amen, now this, he didn't just say stand on that feet. He didn't say, well, amen, stumble the best you can through life. Amen. Paul is very direct in your King James Bible. Amen. What the command and the declaration is. Amen. Stand upright on thy feet. Amen. Now some can't kick it up a notch tonight. Amen. They would stand. They would have some sort of spiritual experience, but they don't like what's being declared of them to do to receive it. So I stand, if the Lord, I believe Lord, and I would stand, I'd have that experience of a miracle in my life, and I would do that. But notice what Paul is telling him, stand upright. Amen. Listen, Brother Mike, it means stand straight as opposed to crooked. Some can't, amen, kick it up a notch because spiritually they're all out of joint and sideways and crooked. And can I tell you, if you're going to kick it up a notch and experience the miracle of God, the declaration, the message tonight is this. You're going to have to stand straight. Can I just put it in vernacular? We'll understand. You're going to have to start straightening up. If you ain't willing to straighten up, the Lord ain't going to help you kick it up a notch. Amen. And there are some, they would gladly receive a miracle if it didn't mean they had to straighten up. Amen. This phrase means stand true, stand good. Amen. Stand right. Amen. And I won't belabor the point. We've been preaching pretty strong lately. Amen. But can I just say this tonight? Amen. If we're going to kick it up in the odds, there must be. Amen. The reception of the declaration tonight. Amen. We'll never kick it up in the odds if we're not willing to stand right. Amen. Stand for the right. And stand for the good. And stand in the true. Amen. Not give up any ground in our life. Amen. And just simply stand how and on what. Amen. We have been instructed. Amen. Before this man ever leaped and this man ever walked. Amen. He had to get a stand made right. Are you listening? Amen. And I'm reminded over and over, Paul and Peter and all. Amen. It seems like the New Testament writers dealt. Amen. With our stand, our spiritual stand. Amen. Claiming that ground and standing on the ground of the truth. Amen. You say, preacher, what's that mean? Amen. That means you take what you get out of the house of God. That is the pillar and the ground of the truth. Amen. And you take that and you stand on that ground. And you live in that ground. And you mark your life in that ground. Amen. And you keep doing it even when you're weak. And even when you feel wore out. And even when you feel like you're lame. Amen. You just stand up right on that faith. Amen. And if you'll do that, amen, the Lord will kick in, amen, your life, and there'll be a power put upon it that will help you kick it up a notch. The dependence and the declaration, and then notice the direction after the miracle. Amen. This experience of the miracle. Amen. The direction, simply put, what did he do? Here's what he done. Here's what he done, Brother Jeremy. Here's what he done. The Bible said he leaped and walked. Here is a man that had been motionless for far too long. When he kicked it up a notch, he has faith. He's got a man of God that's working and helping, doing the work of God in his life. This man is responding to the declaration. My friend, the end result is, amen, when that service was done, he had a brand new direction. I wrote it down this way. Amen, the Bible said, first of all, he leaped. That is, he had an upward direction. There is an upward direction. And I say this matter of kicking it up a notch, amen, listen, it means that he personally, amen, has experienced what only God could do. And in receiving that, he used that, amen, to set and chart the course of his life in an upward direction. Amen, set your affections on things above. And not on things that are below. Amen. If you want to kick it up a notch tonight, if God would somehow, some way, amen, give you according to your faith and ability, amen, may I say, amen, it ought to cause us to have an upward direction. Amen. He not only leaped, that is an upward direction. Amen. But the Bible said he walked. And is a forward direction. Amen. And you'll never receive the power from God and that experience of God's spiritual miracle in your life to kick it up a notch. Amen. If you're not willing to move forward. Many stay stuck in the same lame position they've always been in. Because they refuse to march forward. Amen. They maybe would say things like, well, at least I'm not sliding backwards. Amen. But if you're lame, you're motionless. May I say tonight, the Lord is interested in the spiritual direction of our life being upward, upward first and foremost. This has got to be right. And then we can move forward. Amen. Amen. I see, last of all, the enlargement of the message of God. And I won't preach it all, and I won't even come back and preach it sometime down the road. I'm done with this after tonight. Amen. This miracle is done, and because of the lame man's miracle and kicking it up a notch, Paul and Barnabas had another opportunity to point others to the Lord. Amen. Them superstitious heathens that were in Lystra. And I told you before about that place and the superstition that they had of Zeus and I can't remember the female god that had come down, supposedly had visited the city of Lystra, and they had knocked on 1,000 houses to be received, and they said, no, we don't want you. And they finally found two poor old, an old husband and wife that let these gods come in. And the gods blessed that house and took their little reed hut and made it into a great big temple with a gold. This is what Lystra believed, that God, that those gods had give a temple, made their little hut into a temple and put a gold roof on it and made him and her the priest and priestess of that temple. And then when they died, the gods made them an oak tree and a linden tree, and that they were worshipped, and that in blessing that house, they cursed all the 1,000 houses that they had knocked on. And Lystra believed that superstition, and they had recovered from what had been done to them supposedly by the gods. Now Paul and Barnabas show up, and a great miracle's done in their sight. And their thinking is, the gods have come back to visit us, and we're going to do sacrifice to them, and we want to know, with them to know they are welcome now, and we don't want no curse brought down on us. Ain't that crazy? Crazy stuff. You'd be amazed what crazy stuff people in Newport believe. Amen. It ain't just in Lystra. But here they see this that Paul and Barnabas has been a part of. They thought they were gods. They bring in their sacrifices, and there's an uproar. And Paul and Barnabas learn of what is going on. It's amazing. It's amazing. I don't have time to deal with it, but the enlargement of the message of God, Paul stops them. He says, what y'all need to understand, we were sent here by God to preach to you that you need to turn from these ways. And you can do with this all you want. I think I've got some answers for it. But when Paul preached to them heathens getting ready to do sacrifice, Brother Tim, he never mentioned Christ one time. He never talked about the cross and the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ. He said, God's been good to you. They didn't know who Jesus was. Now don't get mad at me. I'm not saying he didn't preach it. I'm saying in that text, in the record of it, he never mentioned the death, the burial, the resurrection. He said, you need to turn. You need to repent from your sins. And he began to preach that common grace that all men have in creation and the goodness of God upon their life. And it made disciples. I ain't going to look at it. You have to go home, chew on it. Just chew it and look at it. I've got an answer. I've got an answer. You get your answer. What's my point? Because one man had faith to believe that God could heal him. And his response to the preaching that he was hearing, his willingness to do and step out by faith and do what he could not do in himself, stand upright on his feet, he then began to go upward and forward. And those people said, "We've never seen anything like this." Don't get too mad at them for their response. That's all they knew. What they were really saying is, there's been a power out of this world at work to bring this to pass in this man's life. It gave Paul and Barnabas an opportunity to say, "It's the Lord that done it. We're just men of like passions. We come representing the God of glory. We come representing Jesus Christ." Amen. Amen. Is that right? There is an enlargement of the message of God that others are able to hear about what God can do for them. Amen. And maybe tonight if we would let the Lord kick it up a notch in our life, maybe there's some sinner there that would take notice that, man, you know something, O'Reilly, he's something different about him. Cause them to begin to desire the God that saved us. Maybe we could preach the gospel and they'd wind up repenting from their sin and they would be saved. So it ain't important. It ain't important. My spiritual life and where I am, it's not all that important if I kick it up a notch. Well, you go to Lystra 2,000 years ago and you see a scene that it mattered greatly that one man was willing to do it. One man believed it could be done. And a lot of sinners got saved as a result, and I thank the Lord for it. It's time to kick it up a notch. I'm done with that thought. You'll never hear it again. Amen.